All right. Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Pastor, and thank you for tuning in again this week. And we have three questions for today. Let me go ahead and read the first question. It says, Pastor, after listening to your Sunday morning series on Revelation, my question is regarding the rapture and tribulation. I was taught and believed, never studied, that the church would be raptured before the tribulation and the second coming of Jesus. After more studying, you said your view or belief has changed too. We are now in the tribulation and we will not be raptured until Jesus comes back. I hope I said that right. My question is what specifically did you study? Books of the Bible, specific verses, nonfiction books, etc., to get to this conclusion that changed your mind? I need some backup, because when I tell people the church will not be raptured out, I get that deer in the headlights look, and what are you talking about? Thank you. Well, thank you for your question today. Of course, I've brought this up on Ask the Pastor before, but you know, for many years, I would consider myself a pre-tribulation, a dispensational pre-tribulation rapture guy. And to be quite honest with you, the reason I believe that is because that's what I'd been taught going into ministry. The books that I read all believe that. But the more and more I studied the Bible, I came under the conviction that that view doesn't appear to be biblical. So to answer your question, why did my view change? My view changed from studying the Bible. Before, like I said, when I believed in a pre-tribulation rapture before, it was because that's what I'd been taught. Books that I read by famous authors, that's what they believed. But the more I studied the Bible, the more I became convinced that that view didn't appear to be what the Bible taught. And so years and years of studying the Scripture brought me to the conclusion of where I am today. One of the major things that did it for me is when I was doing my doctoral work, and I think I have a copy. I have a copy of my dissertation over there. But when I was doing my doctoral work, I did it on biblical redemptive history, and so basically, I studied the seed of the one born of the seed of the woman. I traced the seed of the woman through biblical narrative, through covenant, and I began to see that that God worked with his people through covenant. And the more I began to study covenant theology and other things, it began to influence the way I studied the whole of Scripture, the way I read the Bible. And I came under the conviction that what I had always believed wasn't what I thought the Bible taught. Now, there have been some studies out there that have helped me along the way. Now, first of all, you ask about different books. I'll share with you some books here in a moment. You've also talked about different passages. Well, you know, any passage in the Bible that deals with eschatology, the study of the end, apocalyptic literature, all those things, you know, whether it be the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, all of those things brought me to the conclusion of what I believe today. And that is that the church is in tribulation currently. We're not going to be raptured out before tribulation because we're already in tribulation. And all we're waiting on is the second coming of Jesus. And the rapture and the second coming are the same event. And so that's where I'm at today. You say in your question that you tell people that the church is not going to be raptured, and they look at you with like a deer in a headlight. Well, let me just say something. I never said I didn't believe the church would be raptured. I just believe that the rapture and the second coming are the same event. In other words, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to come back down to reign triumphantly with Christ on the earth. So I don't know that I would tell people the church isn't going to be raptured, because the church will be raptured. The catching up will take place. It's just the difference is on when that's going to happen. Some people believe it's going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Other people believe it's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation. Still yet, others believe that it happens at the end of the tribulation, and that's where I'm at. The rapture and the second coming are the same event. So I wouldn't go around saying the church isn't going to be raptured. You might say, I don't believe the church is going to be raptured until the end of the tribulation period, and that the rapture and the second coming are the same event. That's probably how I would word it. Now, books that have helped me, here's one in particular. This is a commentary on the book of Revelation, New Testament commentary by Simon J. Kistemaker. That's been very helpful. I also have another book here by John Newport, John P. Newport, The Lion and the Lamb. That's been very helpful. And also Sam Storm. Sam Storm's a fellow pastor here in Oklahoma City area, Bridgeway Church. He wrote a book entitled Thy Kingdom Come. And that's a great, from an all-millennial perspective, and that's a great book as well. And so Sam Storm's Thy Kingdom Come, Simon J. Kistemaker is commentary on the book of Revelation, and then The Lion and the Lamb by John Newport. Now, perhaps my favorite resource, and I don't have it here with me right now because it's at my home office, is G.K. Beale's book on Revelation. So it's a commentary, it's thick, and it's written by G.K. Beale, all right? B-E-A-L-E, G.K. Beale, B-E-A-L-E. And that's probably the best resource that I've come across on that has influenced my view of the book of Revelation. I'm just thinking about some others. I mean, here's another great commentary. This is by Grant Osborne, a commentary on the book of Revelation. And so those are just a few. So I don't read fiction, so I'm glad that you asked me about nonfiction books because I don't read fiction. Most of the books that I read are academic books. So none of these books that I shared with you are going to be easy to read. They're commentaries, and so those are the references that I've used that has helped me in my understanding of the book of Revelation and where I'm at today. All right, so I hope that is helpful. Second question I have today is, do angels have souls? Do angels have souls? Well, here's how I'm going to answer that. Angels are spiritual beings. And I personally believe that the soul and the spirit are synonyms. So it's basically the same thing. And so But from a biblical perspective, I would say that angels are spirit beings, okay? Now, usually when somebody asks you a question like, do angels have souls, they're usually asking that from like a salvation perspective. You know, do angels have, can their souls be saved? And there's nothing that indicates in Scripture that angels, that fallen angels will ever be saved. And so I see soul and spirit as synonyms for describing the same thing. So again, I don't know if I'm going to answer your question the way you want, but I'm going to say that angels in the Bible are spiritual beings. And another note is that they always appear in the masculine, okay? Gabriel, Michael, a feminine name is never used to describe an angel. They're always described in the masculine. Now, that doesn't mean that they have male genitalia, because I don't believe they have any genitalia. They're spiritual beings, but they're always referred to in the masculine. So angels are masculine, spiritual beings. All right? And there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that fallen angels can be saved. Humans can be saved, but angels cannot. All right, The third question that I have for today is perhaps a personal one. It says, as a pastor, what is the biggest struggle you face in today's world? And what Bible promises do you hold on to? Well, I would suspect that my biggest struggle in today's world is just like everybody else's, and that's holiness, to be holy. I feel the same temptations that everybody else feels. There's days I give in to those temptations and I sin against God. There's other days where I don't, but I'm constantly confessing sin. I'm constantly repenting of sin. And so holiness, being holy, is a big struggle for me. But the promise that I hold on to is Philippians 1:6. And it says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." What a promise to know that God is continuing to work in my life, and he will perfect that work until the coming of Jesus Christ. And then on that day, I'll be made perfect. God bless you. Thank you for your questions today. Look forward to answering more next week.